All right, welcome everyone. Thank you for coming. Let's all take a deep breath. Release any tension. Take another deep breath. Let everything go. One more deep breath. And out of the tension, out of your body. And relax as much as you can. Relax your eyes. And the area around your eyes. Relax your nose, cheeks and jaw. Relax your ears. Relax your forehead. Top of your head. Sides of your head, back of your head, relax your whole head at once, relax your neck, shoulders, relax your arms, elbows, forearms, hands, fingers, relax your chest and stomach area, abdomen. Relax your upper back, lower back, pelvis, upper legs, knees, calves, lower legs, ankles. Relax your feet, relax your toes, relax your whole body, go to any tension or emotion in the body that is calling your attention. Just go there and observe whatever's happening. Without trying to change it in any way. We have a tendency to resist tension and pain, tightness. Just notice this tendency to resist. Resistance is part of what is keeping it there. Keeping it from resolving itself. So just notice that resistance to it. And then notice that there's an awareness there that is aware of it. And then notice that whatever tension is there or pain, that the awareness is not tense. More painful, the awareness just is there. And notice that the awareness does not have any characteristics at all, other than it is aware. You could say it's spacious, but it does not have any characteristics like tension or pain that seem to have substance to them. Notice that the awareness does not have any substance at all. Stay with the awareness as best you can. awareness also that the awareness does not have any resistance. It's not trying to push anything away or pull it towards it. The only function of awareness is to be aware. Notice also that the awareness does not come and go. Does not come into existence or go out of existence. That it is constant. Now ask yourself, does the awareness have any limitations to it? Is it limited by anything at all? This is not an intellectual question. It's a holistic question. You ask it with your whole being. Does awareness have a limitation? And ask yourself, does awareness have conditions? In other words, does it have a cause for it to come about? A cause such as if that horn outside were to stop. What does a horn do? Honking? The horn outside were to stop honking, then the awareness could come about. The awareness could be aware. But only if the horn outside stops sounding. Another condition could be the awareness can only be aware if the body stops being in pain. Or the awareness can only be aware if the body is feeling good. Or the awareness can only be there if my relationships are not filled with drama. Or the awareness can only be there if I've had a good night's sleep. It cannot be aware if I'm really tired or stressed. It cannot be there if there's something wrong with the body. Awareness can only be aware there are no strong negative emotions present. These are conditions that we place on awareness. And ask yourself this question. Is awareness really dependent on these conditions for it to be aware, for it to be what it is? Or is it already aware, always, unconditionally? Now, if you haven't already merged your sense of self, the I, with the awareness, become the awareness. Identify only as the awareness. just stay with the awareness as the I, as the I am. Not I am something, I am this or I am that, just I am. Notice also that the awareness does not have to try to be aware. It doesn't have to remind itself to be aware. Doesn't need to make effort to be aware. Just is aware. Just like the sun does not make effort to shine. It shines because it is. Ball of fire. It is its nature to shine. In the same way, the awareness shines out. It projects all things. And it perceives all that it projects. Anything that it projects, such as a body, happens within it. It is not stuck inside of a body. A body happens within awareness. body is an appearance only within awareness. As are all other bodies, merely appearances within the vast expanse of aware, pure space. As all sensations happen through or via the body, they too are merely appearances. Like a rainbow, they may appear bright and colorful, yet they have no substance, no essence. They are illusory, yet seemingly very real. There's nothing wrong with that whatsoever. We can enjoy the appearance of the rainbow, knowing that it's just an appearance. with the recognition that we are pure aware space comes great compassion and love. And especially kindness toward ourselves. Knowing that there's nothing to fight. There are no real adversaries. Because all happens within this singular aware, pure space. With this recognition also comes complete relief. Knowing that what you formerly had resisted is not in need of resisting, because it is you, and it's not separate from you. It is all just a play of light and color within the vast expanse of space. But we need to sit with this. To explore the self before we can have this we need to explore this aware space. So just stay with the I or the I am. And observe what that is. pace. Wiggle your fingers and toes and open your eyes and go back into the room. Very common for spiritual seekers to think that the body must be resolved or healed before there is an awakening or recognition, a deep recognition of the self. There is a tendency to think that awakening is dependent on a healthy, energetic body. That doesn't have pain or emotions or tension, that doesn't react to things in the world. That doesn't have deep trauma. But I think we're all broken in some way, and despite our brokenness, the brokenness of our bodies and the brokenness of our psyches, despite all of this past suffering, we can still realize the truth. Why is that? Why is awakening not conditioned on the body? Or is it, in your experience? If awareness is already there, is already aware and therefore already enlightened, does it need a body to prove that? And does this waiting for approval from the body hold us back from recognition of the self? I would say that waiting for approval from the body or recognition from the body is expecting the body to do something it was not designed to do. That the body is not our enemy, but it's also not our student. We cannot teach the cells to become more spiritual, more enlightened. The body is biology, pure and simple. That is happening within awareness. But it follows the simple laws of biology. And we'll continue this trajectory of becoming well and becoming sick and becoming well and becoming sick. Being born, aging, dying. That's what the body was designed to do. To experience things through the senses in the three-dimensional world, and then to go out of existence. In the 1990s, yoga became very popular in the US and also started to become popular in Europe and in other places. And to me, this is a sign that we're really trying really hard to get the body in shape so that we can have a spiritual awakening. But this simply isn't true in my experience. And as you probably know already, asana yoga is only 1/8 of Patanjali's Yoga Sutras. There are 7 other aspects of what we call yoga. This isn't to say that asana is bad, and of course it's a good thing. It's great to do asana. But to expect asana to solve the problems of your awakening, I think is misleading at best. And maybe it helps us to get the body in shape in order to sit still long enough to have recognitions. And in that way, I think it's a very, very good thing to do that or any kind of physical activity. In order to get the energies of the body moving so that we can sit down and be still. Because in this stillness lies everything that we're looking for. But baby steps, and perhaps it's just more important to be kind to yourself than it is to try really hard. To sit still. And perhaps being kind to yourself means just sitting still. I suppose kindness is open to interpretation. Seems like I had something else I wanted to present. It's probably enough for today. Does anyone have any questions or comments? One thing I will say is that if we want to transcend our so-called karma, which is the result of apparent thoughts and actions and words that we have done in the apparent past, a way to transcend the apparent effects of those apparent actions is in the here and now. If we remember that the here and now is completely open, and not subject to causes and conditions such as karmic results. I don't even like to use the word karma, it's so loaded. I'll just say circumstances. Undesirable circumstances that we find ourselves in. If we just remember that in the here and now, those circumstances cannot really affect us. Don't have any pull over us in the here and now. And if what I'm saying is true, but please don't believe me. Don't take my word for it. But if it is true, then why is that the case? Anybody want to chime in on that? If it's true, that the here and now does not have resistance to anything that's going on. Why is that the case? Why is there no resistance in the here and now? In the present moment. Thank you for coming and being kind to yourself. And enduring the cold, wet room. Okay, we have 16 seconds. Anybody?
Why there is no resistance in the here and now? Is that the question?
What?
Is that the question? Why there isn't resistance in the here and now?
Is there? And if not, why?
Think of situations where there is resistance in the here and now. Like if I'm being tortured, there is resistance for sure in the here and now.
Resistance from who?
Well, the body and.
Right.
I don't know. I don't know if you can really.
Are you the body?
Absolutely present in those moments. They say yes, people say yes, but I don't know.
There are stories, yeah. There are stories.
I imagine that if there isn't resistance, because that's what we experience when we are meditating, it's because that's what is real. That's what the universe is, just being, not creating things and situations and play that is not real.
So can you say that again?
No.
Okay.
It's because that's what we are being, the universe. We are in touch with who we are, with our essence.
And does our essence resist our essence?
No, I can experience. I don't know in what other situations I would experience
what
resistance.
What about right now?
When I'm in, right
what about
now?
Right
no,
now?
No, there is no resistance.
There's no resistance, right?
When I was meditating, when I was present and aware, no.
Why?
because I was just being myself.
So if you're just being yourself, why is there no resistance?
Because it's what is real and it's not made up.
Right.
Because it's not created, like I was saying, it's not.
This is because there's no thoughts.
Yeah.
Right.
For example, yeah. Thoughts is one way of creating stuff and not just being.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's another way of being out of being.
Right. Right. Yeah. Good. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
This is.
And also, is there anything to resist when you're in the here and now, in the present moment?
No, to me it's really easy to sit down and not resist the fact that I'm just sitting down and just being. But uh-huh. I don't know in what other situations in life I would try to be present and mm-hmm. it's not working. I don't know. Here it's easy. It's mm-hmm. privileged in a way.
Uh-huh, right.
Because
yeah.
we're sitting in a nice comfy room.
Sort of.
Yeah, but still, you know.
I forgot to bring my axe.
That's why I started the conversation. We're not being tortured. Can someone being tortured actually just be there?
You know what?
And not resist the fact in that present? I don't know.
I think, yeah, it's a good question. I think if they're so accustomed to being present, then yes, they could just be present. If someone was cutting off their limbs or whatever.
Hmm.
And this is what the stories, the tales of the traditions of Buddhism tell us. I forget this how the story goes exactly, but I'm sure there are many of them. And but this I think requires a commitment
mm-hmm.
to the moment that most of us do not have yet. So
I believe that.
But I'm not asking for a correct answer to the question. I'm only asking what do you find? What have you found? What have you encountered in this moment? Does resistance actually happen in this moment for you? It's not about
mm-hmm.
having the right answer. It's about
mm-hmm.
your own recognition.
Mm-hmm.
And if it is true for you, then will that enable you to go back to the moment more and more? Because you know that you can transcend your suffering. That's why it's, in my mind, that's why it's important.
I mean, one of the first things you said at the very beginning was, you know, awareness is not dependent on conditions, whether the body is suffering, breaking down, having a leg sawn off, it doesn't matter. And I was like, wow, that's so like freeing to know that.
Yeah,
to experience it is a different thing. But I mean, my lived experience is that when I have been, you know, maybe practicing asana and meditating and doing all of those things and my body is in a better physical state, then it does feel or appear to be easier to be non-resistant to the present moment.
Right. Right.
So.
Yeah. What's that about?
Yeah, so it's contradicting exactly what you said, so I'm not sure.
Well, if we're connected to the body,
mm.
you know, if we're in the body, we're not resisting the body, right? Then we're automatically more present,
mm.
right? We're just present to the body, to the senses and everything, and the senses are working more smoothly, and so there's an ability to merge with the body
mm-hmm.
and not resist it, and I think that's what That's what it's about.
Mm.
Because you're not separating yourself
mm.
as, oh, my fucking body. Like,
mm.
why isn't it doing what I want to do? It's just doing what you want to do, and then you forget about it,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
It's it becomes a part of your expression or whatever. And so then you can forget about it. And it just does what it does, and it, everything's okay then. So there's no resistance
mm-hmm.
there. I think that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also this, you know, working with sickness and illness, which is a lot of what I've done, is just looking at that, you know, looking at the hard spots and seeing what is that really, you know, why is there resistance there? And what is that resistance? What is that about? What is that pain about? You know? And we can work with it that way. So I don't think there's a better or worse way. You know, a lot of enlightened masters have transformed very quickly because of their illness. You know, Lester Levinson was one of them.
Mm.
I think Eckhart Tolle also was one of them. Where it just happened, it's happened so rapidly because they were just so far down. They were up against a wall, and so they had to do something. They felt they had to solve the riddle of suffering, you know. And we can delude ourselves with, you know, having a healthy body, having a yoga body, and never really wake up. And I see that a lot. I see that a lot. People thinking that they're spiritual because they have a hard yoga body and they feel really good, you know. They're not really in touch with the fact that one day this body is going to go out of existence, you know. I see it with a lot of young people.
I was just watching a really, well, not funny, but a YouTube video about exactly this, about, you know, how beauty in youth is so important today, and so people get addicted to materialism. So
yeah.
Exactly what you're saying, then there's no
yeah.
chance to move beyond the body.
Yeah.
Absolutely no whatsoever.
Yeah. So our attempts to be spiritual are the opposite of what we're trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
Are serving the opposite purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Well, maybe it's best that they start doing that earlier, so they give up on that earlier.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. For sure. Yeah.
Does anyone feel like you're smiling when you're aware,
mm-hmm.
when you're really like being aware?
Oh, definitely.
It's so nice,
yeah.
isn't it?
You need to.
But I still wonder
yeah.
sometimes, why am I smiling?
Yeah, you would like the inner smile meditation. You know the inner smile meditation. Does it come from? You must know that.
Thich Nhat Hanh. Thich Nhat Hanh.
Okay.
He's
yeah.
no. He's the most known for that
okay.
inner smile.
What is he known for?
Thich Nhat Hanh is a.
I know who he is, but
oh.
what were you gonna say? That
and it's he's what? Most known for teaching the inner smile meditation.
Oh, that's
like
actually
just doing
a meditation called that.
There
like
is a
called.
Yeah
yeah.
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He's the one I, in my experience, is most.
Do you know where it comes from, like before him? Cause
well,
thinking,
I don't know. It's
yeah.
it's Mahayana,
okay.
you know. It's Thich Nhat Hanh is Zen. It's Southeast Asian Zen Buddhism, which is Mahayana.
Mm-hmm.
Mahayana is known for working with compassion and love.
Yeah.
In meditation,
mm-hmm.
not just doing hardcore Theravada, like
mm-hmm.
watch your breath,
mm-hmm.
you know, or whatever. I suppose they have metta too. Theravadins
mm-hmm.
have loving kindness too, but yeah, I don't know. The Mahayana's arts maybe a little more creative
mm-hmm.
with that.
I was definitely smiling when Douglas was saying the word honking. There's something very funny about that.
I couldn't figure out what does the horn do?
Well, I could tell
like,
you don't say horning.
Horning.
Because English works like that, right?
Word,
like you said the word and then you have
horning.
The word,
of course, it should be horning. Why isn't it horning?
Yeah, I was thinking of horning. And then, a honking sounded much better coming from you.
Horning sounds kind
of... But when I'm smiling, I'm not smiling of anything that is going on. It's it's just... If I'm, aware and I'm really present, it just starts happening.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it just starts happening. And then this is when sometimes, I have I observe it and I have the feeling of, this is really being kind to myself. I really have that feeling and it feels good, There's these moments when we're meditating that thoughts come and
mm-hmm.
this is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, you're being kind.
Mm-hmm.
It's good.
Yeah.
And everything just softens with this slight smile.
Yeah.
It's just such a soft...
Yeah, sometimes it almost hurts.
Yeah.
So there is a meditation which is called Inner Smile Meditation.
Yes.
Is that right?
Okay. And I used to have a copy of my old laptop, but my old laptop broke, so I can't even send you it, but it must be easy to find.
Yeah.
Okay.
ChatGPT will know. Okay, all right, let's wrap it up. Thank you guys for coming, and hopefully we'll see you next week.